There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yesterday morning, we were talking about Hong Kong's government. They were trying to improve their image after all of the sort of TV pictures of people on the streets over the last few months. They contacted 8 PR firms to try and rebuild their image. Several of them said, we are not interested. The ones that were remaining didn't bid either. So they were troubled and Richard Dean was, I think, understanding that these people wouldn't want to get involved with Hong Kong, because you brought up the issue of the case of Bell Pottinger. Just explain that case, Rich.
Yeah, until a few years ago, Bell Pottinger was one of the world's leading communications, public relations companies, but it is no more, because it did work with sometimes government organisations with questionable reputations, including a family in South Africa. And it, to the extent that it spent so much time managing its own reputation, other people's reputations, and not enough managing its own, its reputation became toxic, nobody wanted to work with it, and it went bust. And therefore, public relations firms now are very conscious about who they do and do not work for. And it raised the issue about whether or not the Twitter poll today is, have you ever turned down a lucrative contract despite being perfectly legal for ethical reasons or the reasons of your conscience?
And we've got Eileen Wallace, the Managing Director of Wallace PR, in the studio to discuss exactly that. Good morning to you, Eileen.
Good morning,
Thanks
Malcolm.
For having you here. But surely it's the job of PR companies to do that, to help people out, countries out, companies out, when they're in trouble.
I think the majority of PR companies operate from the perspective that all governments, individuals, companies should ideally have a platform to be heard. Everyone has a story to tell, whether you're a commercial entity, whether you're a nonprofit entity, whether you're a private individual. If you have a story to tell, PR companies can be engaged to help you strategically shape that story and find the right outlet to tell that story. But that doesn't mean that PR companies are obligated to take on work that makes them uncomfortable or they feel that is at odds with the ethos of how they do business.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that the companies involved, there are 8 of them, good names, that they just couldn't find anything positive to say about Hong Kong. Several of them stressed that it wasn't quite the right time. But if you'd been offered that job, would you have accepted it or not?
I don't think I would have accepted that job. I feel confident we wouldn't have accepted that job, because when there are fundamental structural issues, in this case, public policy issues, safety issues that need to be addressed first, that is the primary concern. So at the end of the day, PR is not wallpaper that you can use, or communication is not wallpaper that you can use to paper over fundamentally faulty construction. So I don't think that's something we would have taken on.
Because Richard brought up the case earlier that, you know, even the guiltiest of murder is entitled to a defense brief. It seems strange to me, as somebody who's not particularly heavily involved in PR, that you wouldn't lap up this opportunity to make a name for yourself, to try and pick up on the good things about Hong Kong, sell it.
There's something tremendously gratifying, Malcolm, in taking a challenging story or a challenging narrative and making it easier to understand and convincing people of another perspective. So that's considered a win from the PR industry. However, you need to have clients who you believe will actually listen to your advice, take your strategic advice on board, and act on it. So if you feel that the client is just engaging you, again, to sort of whitewash something that they don't have any fundamental desire to change as an organization, then that is not only dispiriting to your colleagues, and I think that's one of the fundamental issues with some of the challenges that Richard mentioned earlier. There's a rise of employee activism. Our colleagues want to be proud of the brands that they represent. They want to truly believe in the brands that we represent. And if they can't do that, then they can't do their job effectively.
That's why I'm not in the PR industry, because I would have just thought, oh, I can charge them double for this because no one else wants to do it. Rich?
Yeah, if I'd had the RFP, I might well have submitted a proposal. But joking apart, the question is, have you ever turned down a lucrative contract for ethical reasons, even though it was perfectly legal to do it. The Twitter poll so far, 79% of people say, yes, my conscience is clear, I have done that. But 21% of people say, no, money talks, if it's legal, I will do it. Have you ever had to wrestle with these dilemmas at Wallace, Eileen?
Not a specific ethical dilemma. We definitely have not taken on business. For instance, if it's a conflict with some of our existing business, that could be an issue. We definitely want to have a better understanding of the business practices. We work with a lot of multinational companies. We work with a lot of governments, not only here, but around the world. And we want to know that they are behaving and operating in an ethical way. So in order, you need that trust and you need that transparency to have an open and candid exchange with your client. So if you feel that something's being hidden or covered up, or it's at odds with how you do business, at the end of the day, it affects our own reputation as an agency if we take on a client who turns out to be not dealing fairly in the market.
If you're dealing with any large enough government or multinational organization, inevitably, they're going to be doing, someone somewhere in that organization is going to be doing something that perhaps you or your staff may disagree with. When you get to that scale, nobody's completely whiter than white. How do you handle that?
At the end of the day, Richard, people are employing us to give them strategic advice. We're like a doctor or a lawyer, let's say. So if someone has a problem, they're calling us in to solve it. If they fundamentally have moral or ethical challenges, one of the nice things about PR agencies, we really can kind of hold a mirror up to the organization and say, this is not best practice. There are better, cleaner, more ethical ways that will resonate with your customers and with your audiences of how to do things. And we have examples of best practice, and we're called upon to give that advice. So that is equally very satisfying if companies are willing to listen to that candid insight and take it on board and act on it.
I suppose it's the same for advertising companies. You know, when you take on an account such as a tobacco producer, a cigarette maker, you know, do you or don't you? I'm sure there'll be people naysaying it, but if it keeps the company alive in terms of profitability, why not? I don't know. It's a legal product. If it's legal, yes. If it's illegal, no.
There are certain cases in my experience, Malcolm, where it doesn't matter how large the budget is, it's not worth taking on the client, either because they won't listen to your advice, they won't take your advice, your employees won't feel engaged, you fundamentally believe that the market will not accept the storytelling opportunity that the company is taking. So from that perspective, if you don't see an opportunity to succeed with a client, no amount of money that they want to pay you is worth it.
Listen, thanks very much for your insights this morning, Eileen. It's much appreciated. Eileen Wallace, Managing Director of Wallace PR. Let's hope we never put in that dilemma as to whether or not to accept a contract. Thank you.
Thanks, Malcolm.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.